Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he...
My name is Tyson. I bought a house on Kijiji with my own money when I was 15. So I started selling at the age of 9 with the help of my grandfather. The two most important things that my grandfather taught me was 1, to surround yourself with positive influences, and 2, that at any age, you're able to make money. I was too young to get a job, so I used Kijiji to make my own. The most I ever made on a single purchase was I bought a bedroom set for $200 and within 3 days sold it for $1,600. I wanted to make money as soon as I could. I sold bedroom sets, stoves, fridges, movies, video games, lipstick, almost anything. Just 2 weeks after my 15th birthday, I used my own money to put a down payment on a townhouse. I had to come up with the money all by myself. I don't think I would have been able to do it so quickly if it weren't for Kijiji. I can honestly say that I feel like a normal teenager. I play video games, I love playing basketball with my friends, and I still do all my business on the side. The day that I bought my first investment property, I had finally reached all my goals.
All right, today we're doing a short one because we started an hour late. I had to do some stuff offline. Anyway, but we'll keep it short. Because we're planning something for tomorrow and the balance of the week. What's going on? So today, just to jump off, is The Asian Edge. This podcast title was inspired by, I had these like, not every night, but we hours in the morning, I'm on the phone typically, maybe with a high school buddy or something like that. And, well, anyway, he sent me a Instagram text of this Korean lady, Korean American, that was talking about, you know, her parents. And I feel she didn't give the whole backstory, but anyway, she said her parents went and got a bank loan, and her parents were immigrants, got a bank loan, and was able to open up a business because she, her mother believes that they got the bank loan due to their work ethic. But then I had to send him a text back saying, well, number one, although the immigrants, they had a job or they had jobs. Number two, more than likely, the bank loaned them money. I'm sure they had to come up with some skin in the game. You know, the typical bank is not just going to let you come in with no skin in the game. So I'm sure they had, they probably had jobs. They came in, they probably had a down payment or, you know, sizable, let's say 10, 15, maybe 20%, 30% of working capital put in, and then the bank came in behind. See, that's the part that this Korean daughter didn't put into the story. So then my friend sends me, said, he tried to play the race card on this one. I said, no. And, oh, here's the third thing. And then, of course, the bank's looking at the potential revenue because I think they were buying a liquor store. So if they missed any payments, you know, the bank would just simply, you know, shut them down and the bank would own a liquor store. All right, so all those, you know, let's look at all that, and then you also have black people, I mean black people, purple, blue, brown, white, black, that once again, if you have the basic credentials, the working capital, a business plan, and so forth, you know, you'll get loans. Anyway, so then I got to thinking in my response to them, because I didn't want to get on the race card thing. Then I went to some YouTube videos I remembered. So I'm just going to summarize one of these, because there's a bunch of videos on there. If you type in YouTube or any search engine, Chinese student school day, Japanese student school day, you know, well, you know, because a lot of people think, I mean, they're playing some stereo, but they're so good at math. Well, here's why they're good at business. And why they're good at math, and why they're good at manufacturing. Let's go to the roots of it. Now, I'm reading this offline. The typical Chinese school day, going to school in China, and I'm going to see if I can get one of my Chinese friends on here. But China, like, it's 11:43 a.m. where I'm at, which means it's 11:43 p.m. or 12:43 p.m. wherever in China. Anyway, I'm going to work on that because I got a bunch of Chinese friends. Anyway, going to school in China is a tough feat. Now, this tough feat is all in relative to what? To Americans. All right. Now, burdened with classes, the first thing, they go to class 6.5 days a week. We American students, mainstream, I'm sure there's exceptions, but public school, mainstream public school and private schools or charter schools go to school Monday through Friday. So they go to school 6.5 days out of the week, and their school day is typically 7:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. at night. Students' livelihoods are fully consumed with school, homework, and studying, and have very little time for extracurricular activities and play. Okay. Now let's see. So they simply put in the work. Let's see. Typical school day in China. Okay, but yeah, look at time. Japan. Yeah, they're not for Chinese students. All right, let's see what this is about. This is the Hechinger Report. Day in the life of Chinese students. Okay, elementary school, they go to school from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Middle school, they go to middle and high schoolers go to school from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then they pick back up in the evenings as well. Okay, let's see. All right, well, there's several articles on this, several videos on this. So truly the early bird and the late bird. Now I'm reading another chart here. And then a lot of them spend, parents spend money on extra tutoring. Anyway, let me see. There's somebody from Asia sending me DMs right now. All right, well, so that's what I call the, we'll go more into it, like, so let me see if I can line up somebody, or at least have a WhatsApp chat, or a, what do you call it, Clubhouse chat. On this, all right, tomorrow, I got an idea I want to put out here, which ties into our 100 house today. Midweek. So, yeah, and I had to get out of here. I had to scramble out here this morning. So, well, my connection's running slow here. Okay. I'm just waiting for the phone to repopulate. Okay, all right. Any announcements? Let us know. We put up now. Okay, let's see. Steve Weaver in today. All right, so it looks like we don't have any special announcements today. I see tomorrow we'll be starting on time as usual. Like, do some here. With our goal of 100 houses. And then on that note, everyone have a good day.